Rick Zhang is the founder and CEO of Prince of Travel. They are your home for smarter travel. Welcome to the show, Ricky.
Thanks for having me, George. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So about 7 years ago, I started Prince of Travel, and we're all about helping people travel the world by maximizing their frequent flyer points and loyalty programs, and doing so in a way that, you know, allows them to unlock elevated travel experiences at a fraction of the cost. So that's been our mission since day one. And, you know, I got in the game myself back in the day as, you know, I was a traveler, but I was also a student. So I was on a limited budget. I was trying to figure out like how to make this whole thing work for me, how to get to see more of the world without having to spend too much money. And so I dove deep into all the points programs and credit cards and figured it out for myself and decided to build a resource and build a travel company around it. And yeah, it's been 7 years going strong, and you know, we're excited about the mission to bring the power of traveling on points, making travel more accessible to, you know, even more people, and show more people the wonders of what travel can do for you.
That always makes a lot of sense, where you are doing something personally and you say, you know what, I bet there's better ways to do this, and there's a lot of complexity, it's confusing, but I bet it's not too hard to figure out, and turns out you were right.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's one of those things where there's a bit of a barrier entry at the start, but you know, it takes a little bit of hard work, dedication, like anything worth doing, at the start, figuring it out. And then from there, you know, after I figured it out for myself, the mission became, you know, there's a way to make this more digestible and accessible to people so that many more can benefit from all these opportunities that are available just by maximizing the right credit cards and using the right credit cards for your spending, and then learning to use these programs and whatnot, right? So that's been the big motivator, and you know, it's been continued to be the case throughout the years.
It's interesting. I imagine that I am not a person who spends a lot of time thinking about this. In my family, my wife is very interested in it, so she'll be excited to listen to the episode. But I'm sure that there's probably some kind of a program at every level of travel, hotels to flights to rental cars to restaurants, everything.
Yeah, definitely. Well, loyalty programs are all the rage these days. Basically every business, you know, that you might encounter, definitely in the travel space, but even your day-to-day life, like you mentioned, restaurants, they're big on this concept of loyalty because they're proven to work, right? They're proven to be able to, you know, change people's behaviors in a way that, you know, incentivizes, you know, spend or activity, engagement, you know, repeat business and whatnot. But definitely in the travel space, because of the way the economics work, basically since the 80s, the airlines in particular have been very enthusiastic about making these loyalty programs, right? Nothing gets people going quite as much as this idea of a free flight, the promise of a free flight. And nothing gets them to like select one airline, go with, you know, the airline's hotel or bank partner as much as like, oh, I could get a free flight one day. So the airlines have really learned to tap into that psychology and use that to their advantage. And they've, you know, generated billions of dollars from their programs, right? And working with the banks and issuing the cards and whatnot. And what we do is all about like, hey, you know, all this value is being created, accruing to the airlines. Here's how to, you know, earn back some of that value to your life by elevating and maximizing your own travel experiences by playing the game the right way.
It is a game.
Very much so at the end of the day, right? It's a game. There are rules. There are, you know, rules that are laid out, and your job is to figure out how to learn to maximize within them. Sometimes there's ways to maximize that are outside of the spirit of the rules. And, you know, those are outsized opportunities that last for a little while before the rules change. And then, you know, you continue to optimize as you go along. And like any game, there's, you know, time and energy involved in figuring out how to play it the best way, how to maximize your strategy. But typically, as with any game worth playing, the rewards are well worth the cost.
And I imagine the rewards come in different forms. I'm sure that and you can correct me wherever I might be wrong, that you can get better service. Obviously, free stuff is awesome. There's status, so there's ego. Is it all these things?
Yeah, 100%. Well, you know, the free stuff is probably it's the biggest motivator, but it's not the only thing, right? Because, you know, getting a free flight after your years of loyalty and engaging with an airline and, you know, like shifting your buying behavior in favor of one airline over the other, let's say, that's one piece. But then, to your point, the airlines and hotels and all the travel programs these days, they've learned to tap into the ego side, right, of the human consumer. So the status is like, they're kind of saying the quiet part out loud by naming their program just like elite status. It's kind of like, it very much appeals to, you know, people are naturally then motivated to go on that hamster wheel and stay and fly as much as possible. And everybody kind of recognizes that, but can't help themselves, because if you're going to travel anyway, right, you might as well do so in a way that concentrates your activity with one or a handful of brands and gets you elevated treatment as a result, right? Gives you a better experience. It's, you know, the programs are designed in a certain way, but ultimately people partake because it does give you, say, the upgrade, the breakfast, the, you know, the nice suite, the late checkout when you're staying at a hotel, when you're flying, you know, upgrades, lounge access, and whatnot, that really make a difference to your quality of experience. And the other thing is, once you've experienced that, you don't want to go back to the old way, right? So you want to like do whatever you can to keep it. And the airlines know that too. So that's, you know, that's something I'd say like people should be aware of when they're looking to get into the game, let's say, when they're looking to pursue the rewards on offer, is that once you've gotten a taste of it, it's hard to go back. So make sure if it's something you truly want, then go for it, but also worth keeping that in mind.
How big of a shift in behavior is required to get to make it of value?
So this is where I'd say there's different levels of how much you can choose to participate, right? And I think a lot of people would benefit from basically adopting the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the effort gets you 80% of the reward. I think for a lot of people, it can be as simple as, you know, choosing the right set of two or three credit cards to use for your daily spending, which may require like revisiting this set once a year or so, depending on how your spending and budgeting evolves. You know, which categories of spending you typically see yourself, you know, allocating more towards over the course of a given year. If it's going to be, for example, food and drink, then in the States, you definitely want the American Express Gold Card. That's four times the points on food and drink. But most people don't know that. They just use like whatever. Like, some people often think that the Platinum Card is just the best card, right? But the earning rate on the Platinum Card isn't actually as strong as the Gold Card on four times the points on food and drink. If you're in Canada, which is where I'm from, there's a card called the Cobalt Card as well, which is five times the points on food and drink. So those are just two examples where, you know, just by choosing the right two or three credit cards for your ongoing spend, and then like layer on top of that, strategically applying for new cards when there's a high welcome bonus that's very attractive, that'll help you get closer to your next travel goal. So the next big trip you want to go on, whether that's business class to Europe or, you know, somewhere in Asia or whatever it is, having a sense of which points are going to get you closer to that goal. And yeah, and then basically, you know, optimizing your set of cards plus the strategic cards that you sign up for welcome bonus purposes, that's like the 20% that'll get you basically the 80% of the way there. And it's, you know, a couple of hours over the weekend, if you need something to do this weekend, right? List out your expenses, figure out what are the cards that are going to serve you best. And, you know, just keeping up with the news and the deals on the welcome bonuses on a semi-regular basis, and that'll get you most of the way there. Now, there's room to go further, right? And that's where some of the more dedicated people in the space are the type who end up getting like, you know, a whole bunch of credit cards, and they end up going like multiple first class flights, first class trips around the world, every year. And I was one of those people, right, for most of my 20s. So it's definitely possible to get these extremely, extremely attractive outsized rewards. But I'd say for most people, if you're looking for like one trip a year in first class, that's definitely doable with only a fraction of that amount of work.
Nice. I appreciate that. So making sure that you are, if this is of interest to you, a good first step is looking at your consumer behavior. Because to your point, if you're going out to eat a lot of food and drink, some credit cards do this and not necessarily those. So I think that that's awesome advice right there. Maybe plug the site. This is a place where I can go to your website to sort of get all these kind of updates, or am I having to go to each one of these credit card companies on my own?
Yeah, definitely. That's basically all we do at Prince of Travel, is to keep people updated on the latest goings on in the credit card and loyalty and travel space. So any, you know, new deal in terms of a welcome bonus or a change to the earning rate that you should be paying attention to, or if they a change to how one of the airline programs work, right? That's going to matter when it's time to redeem your hard-earned points, how the rules work, and you know how that might change your strategy. That's our bread and butter. So that's what we cover on the website. We have YouTube as well, and we've got our socials channels. So wherever you get your information, find us at Prince of Travel.
Do all of these companies move in similar directions? For example, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, when they see one moving in a certain direction, do the others follow, or is everybody kind of doing their own thing?
There's typically a competitive element to it. So you'll often see, for example, in the US, there's so-called big three airlines, right? Delta, United, and American. And typically with those, where one goes, the others will follow, right? It's a pretty tight-knit industry. It's one that has gotten even tighter over the years through consolidation. So I'd say it's one of those industries where it's, you know, not every day that you see something truly innovative happening. A lot of the times there's just, you know, yeah, like a lot of things moving in the same direction, often not necessarily to the consumer's benefit, right? It's especially if you're looking to maximize your points, there's more often going to be news that's unfavorable than favorable, right? The game is gradually getting less and less attractive, just because more and more people, you know, get into it. The airlines wisen up to all the rules. Credit card issuers, like, you know, tighten their application restrictions. However, even though this is the gradual trend over like the long term, right, over like, you know, 10, 20 years, if you look back, at any given moment, there's outsized opportunities, right, specific to that era. So even though now, looking back at 10 years ago, we can always say like, oh, the opportunities available then were so great. You know, could fly like first class for only say like 50,000 miles or whatever it was, right? Even, you know, even so much as that may be true, right now there's still very, very attractive opportunities in the current landscape that are, you know, that you'd be crazy not to take advantage of, right? Because you can still fly first class for 70,000 or 80,000 points in certain cases if you play the game the right way. So the key thing is that it's always evolving, and that's, you know, that's again why it's important to stay on top of things, you know, even if it's just a little bit of light reading here and there, keeping up with the space. But that's definitely important if you want to, you know, stay on top of it and really maximize.
I think it's interesting thing. The airline industry has always been one of those things that's been really confusing to me, because it seems like people are constantly flying, yet airlines appear from the outside looking in to always be financially struggling. So there's always these mergers and consolidations, and this company's going bankrupt or whatever it might be. And it just seems like they would want you, me, the consumer, to become a Delta customer for life kind of a thing. Or if I'm a Hilton Hotels, I just want me or you to stay up at my hotel all the time. How would you, if you could wave a magic wand and I don't know if the right term is fix the airline industry, or if you were a consultant, how would you consult with them to be a better business partner to consumers?
Yeah, it's tricky because it's one of those businesses where the margins are just razor thin, right? And it's kind of, I mean, if you look at the sheer complexity of operations involved. It's a bit of a miracle that this industry like works the way it does, right? That aviation, like I always, whenever I'm flying, I'm like, this is kind of like magic that all of this comes together to enable us to like get from point A to point B, but not just me on my particular journey, but everybody in the airport, everybody in all the planes at once, like going where they need to go for the most part all the time, right? So given the sheer complexity at play, you know, yes, you look at the margins, you look at like the state of the industry sometimes. You know, it's you look at, on one hand, airlines are notorious for nickel and diming consumers, but in some ways they kind of have to be to like keep everything going. And the fact that there is also the upside in the form of these loyalty programs, which are insanely profitable to the airlines, right? And that also means basically that it's, you know, a cost to most consumers in terms of like how their behavior is changed by the loyalty programs, right? But the fact is that for the savviest among us, which is what, you know, the segment of consumers we're looking to speak to, there is a way to play the game and win and come out even further ahead. That's pretty amazing to me. So yeah, in terms of making it more consumer friendly, I mean, yeah, as a consultant, I'd probably be in a position where I'm saying like, you want to lead with your brand, right? If you look at what Delta's doing in the States, for example, Delta is one of those airlines where they somehow managed to like carve out this reputation that's ahead of United and American in many ways, even though they, you know, just on paper and in practice lack in many others. They've somehow been able to, you know, they've invested in their product, they've created these positive brand associations, and they consistently are able to command a premium over United and American. And you know, even if they're weak in certain areas, that the others are strong, they've been able to maintain an industry leading position. So the goodwill of the customers that they've built up, right? So it's like that's one of those areas where I think airlines are often short-sighted. They're often in a position where they're, you know, cost cutting before thinking about looking out for the bottom line before thinking about the brand associations and long-term implications. And you know, I'm somebody who building my business has always been brand forward from day one. So that's, you know, the lesson that I probably also impart in the industry as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. It does seem like they are constantly sort of putting out fires, or and publicly traded companies need to find quarterly profit or try and make quarterly profit. So just unfortunately leads to a lot of short-term thinking and decision-making, which is what you've been talking about. So maybe one of these days they'll call you up, Ricky, and say, "Hey, come fix this problem."
You know what? That's perhaps on the roadmap, but I'm just also looking to, you know, do the best that I can do, and you know, maybe we'll be in that position one day.
So for people who are rewards, travel points curious, how do they get started?
So definitely pop over to princeoftravel.com. We'd love to have you, right? We're all about. We just recently defined our company vision again this year, and it's to be the leading platform empowering every global citizen to go further better. And so if you're somebody who has a desire to see the world, looking to, you know, travel more, if you're curious about expanding your horizons and you don't want to break the bank in doing so, then find us at princeoftravel.com. Find us on YouTube and socials as well. If you hop over to the website, you can join our newsletter, which hits your inbox every Sunday and keeps you updated on all the latest in terms of, you know, what's happening in the space, what to keep up with, and we'll also deliver a quick intro course when you sign up as well, just to catch you up on all the basics.
I love it. Go far further better. I think that's great. We're working here on to do here is to get better so you can live how you want. So I think in a lot of ways it's very similar. So, well, Ricky,
That's
thank you so
awesome.
much for coming on. Give us the website one more time, please.
Princeoftravel.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Ricky your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to princeoftravel.com, sign up for the newsletter, and it'll hit your inbox every Sunday with the different updates, and stay on top of everything. Take advantage of that introductory course. If you are somebody who's always hearing about people getting free flights or whatever it might be, it's a good entry point to figuring out how you can change your behavior just a little bit and start getting major benefits that Ricky's been talking about today. Thanks again, Ricky.
Thanks for having me, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.